Gum. I'm Robert Gardner's Bay. This is TheBealPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from Long Island's lovely South Fork, just south of Connecticut, just east of New York City. Today is Thursday, the 13th of August, 2015. On this date in 1521, Aztec capital Teotihuacan, now Mexico City, falls to Hernan Cortez after a three-month siege. 1624, the French King Louis XIII appoints Cardinal Richelieu as Prime Minister of France. 1792, King Louis XVI of France is formally arrested by the National Tribunal and declared an enemy of the people. 1920, the Battle of Warsaw begins and will last until August 25th. The Red Army is defeated by the Polish Army. 1942, Walt Disney's first full-length animated film, Bambi, was released in theaters. 1953, Big Mama Thornton recorded Hound Dog, an instant number one hit on the R&B charts, later to be done by Elvis. 1960, the Central African Republic declares independence from France. 1961, just after midnight, troops begin putting up barbed wire and Berlin is divided. 1982, Fast Times at Ridgemont High debuts. 2008, Russian army units occupy the Georgian city of Gori. Birthdays today are civil rights leader Lucy Stone, sharpshooter Annie Oakley, director Alfred Hitchcock, rotary engine designer Felix Wankel, revolutionary Fidel Castro, author William Goldman, and Malaysian pop singer Sheila Umza. Commerce, Oklahoma's most revered resident, Mickey Mantle of the New York Yankees, died 20 years ago today. Today is International Left-Handed People's Day. And I'd also like to say that today is the 100th birthday of Helen Michelle Mullen of Biloxi, Mississippi, my grandmother, an amazing woman, admitted to medical school at Harvard and the University of Berlin in the 30s, couldn't go due to lack of funds, a problem in the 30s in the United States. She was a great writer, mother, grandmother, cook, and a storyteller, an incredible person, and I miss her. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politra column this week is about the judge that seized some of Rustavi II's assets via an odd mechanism of injunctive relief, which will have the effect of bleeding the station to death unless it's overturned on appeal. I won't go into the details, but hope you read it. It will be posted in our forum. Let me just say about this, that it's really, really important. The government has encouraged the judge to do this, in my opinion. It is a civil dispute, but there was no reason for all of them to freeze Rustavi II's assets other than make it difficult to broadcast. This is just like them putting those poor kids from the defense ministry in jails for so many months in pretrial detention when Alassania was moved. There was no reason to do it then, and there's no reason for this than political motivation, in my opinion. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. We got some kudos from a VIP listener who liked last week's song. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to TheBealPod.com. That's where the articles will be posted as well, or send an email at TheBealPod@gmail.com. Several of you noticed and mentioned that our domain was down. That was because I bought it 10 years ago on the 6th of August, 2005. The email telling me the time was up, does not exist anymore. I was doing the podcast before that, but was emailing out MP3s for those old timers that may remember those days. So, we are not only older than This American Life, but are older than the word podcast. So thank you all for listening. If you want to give us a present, then send the link to people you know or may want to hear it. Post it on your Facebook page. Say nice things. Send us the names or email addresses of people who may want to get it. As you know, we have no advertising. We will try to never have any. So we don't really have a marketing budget or any marketing at all. Anyways, happy birthday to TheBealPod.com. So, late in the evening of Thursday, the 6th of August, the National Bureau of Enforcement seized vehicles belonging to Rustavi Ori TV. On the 7th of August, Tbilisi City Court ordered a freeze on assets of Rustavi II. The technical term is injunctive relief and comes at the request of the former owner, who is now suing Rustavi Ori to claim back his shares in the company. Businessman Kibar Halvashi was a shareholder in Rustavi Ori in 2002 and 4. He purchased Rustavi II in 2004, kind of, for $7 million at the request of the National national movement government that didn't want Edossi Keats Matashvili, who'd started it in 1994, to have it anymore after Edossi fell out with Misha. On the 4th of August, he filed a lawsuit saying that through intimidation and unprecedented pressure from the former government and with Misha's involvement, he was forced to give up his shares in late 2006. As an interim measure, he asked the court to freeze the broadcaster's assets pending the court's final verdict over the ownership dispute. Halvashi also claims authorship of Rustaviotti's logo, which was the excuse to send it to that particular Utsneba-affiliated judge, who is a copyright specialist. He turned down the request to freeze both the bank account and the logo, but granted it for everything else. Rustaviotti TV condemned Halvashi's lawsuit as a government-orchestrated attempt to take over the broadcaster. They said that the asset freeze bans the current owners from selling shares, as well as from selling or renting out broadcast equipment, vehicles, and other property, which is one of their sources of revenue. Rustaviotti's general director, Nika Gvaramia, said that they would appeal to a higher court because the current owners of Rustaviotti acquired the TV company by legal means, and so Halvashi's plea has no legal merit. Gvaramia suggested that the request to freeze their bank accounts, which would in effect mean ceasing the station's operations, was basically rejected out of fear of public backlash. He said they will make a fight and will not only with Halvashi, but with the authorities. Rustaviotti said that they only received the court order on the 7th of August, but that it was dated for the 5th of August. Prime Minister Garabashvili predictably commented that the government's role in this is zero. They believe in the restoration of justice, and this is between two parties, and the court will decide. Yeah, all right. BI said that he can tie Rustaviotti with Alessania and the UNM. They all have the same ideology, and that Rustaviotti and Alessania are liars. Okay, fine. There's a long list that Rustaviotti has done of various politicians saying horrible things about it. Minister of Environment Agulashvili said that the government should not interfere with independent stations and, on the contrary, should stand by free media. In contrast with things Energy Minister Kaladze has said over the past year along the lines of, you attacked us for 9 years, so you shouldn't be surprised. Eka Gigaudi of the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, said, it really is a political process, not a legal dispute, and we've been hearing a lot of aggression against Rustaviotti from politicians. As a note, since 2004, Rustaviotti TV has changed hands multiple times. A lot of it was heavily political. Every new shareholder was either an ally of Misha's or an offshore firm. The current owners with the majority stake in Rustaviotti are Levan Karamanishvili with 23%, Georgi Karamanishvili with 18%, TV Georgia with 51%, and Nino Nijaradze with 9%. Over the weekend on the 9th of August, two of the original owners of Rustaviotti, Georgi Akimidze and David Dvali, came out to say that they too had earlier filed a lawsuit over ownership and are trying to get back their two-thirds of the shares, and that they had been forced to give up their ownership to Halvashi. The third original owner of Rustaviotti, Edossi Keats Matashvili, was found dead in his car in July 2014 with a gunshot wound to the head. Investigators say it was suicide. Everyone else thinks it was murder. On Monday, the 10th of August, Tbilisi City Court allowed the lawsuit to proceed. Civil society groups such as TI Georgia and ISFED released a statement saying that the court order for an asset freeze over ownership lacked justification for the decision, that although the ownership dispute is between private entities, it raises questions over political meddling. They say outright that hampering the functioning of the country's most watched television channel will pose a threat to the pluralistic and free media environment in the country. It may become especially problematic ahead of the 2016 parliamentary election. In a separate statement, Gaila noted that usually a low standard of reasonable assumption is applied when a court decides on choosing injunctive measures, but that in this particular case, ordering a broad range of simultaneous injunctive measures was disproportionate and may damage the company and hamper its operations. They believe the judge should have also taken into consideration possible damages that the media outlet may suffer as a result of the asset freeze, and notes that the asset freeze will be enforced pending a final verdict over ownership dispute, which may last for months or, in reality, years, or until the day or week after the parliamentary election. Gaila finally notes that the judge failed to consider obligating the plaintiff to compensate any possible damages for the defendant as a result of the asset freeze in case of losing. The OSCE representative on freedom of the media, Dunja Milatovic, said on the 11th of August that the disproportionate and excessive court order to freeze Rustavioti may negatively affect Rustavioti's ability to operate freely and may constitute a threat to media pluralism in Georgia. On the 10th of August, Russian forces from South Ossetia placed new signposts marking the South Ossetian ABL administrative boundary line close to the villages of Tamarasheni and Seronisi in the Kareli municipality. About 6 to 7 hectares of farmland fell beyond the new signpost. The move was condemned by the foreign ministry as a provocation and said that it poses a threat to security and stability and grossly violates local residents' fundamental rights, and called on Russia to refrain from actions directed towards escalating the situation. Defense Minister Tina Kohidasheli said that Georgia should not yield to these provocations, which will presumably continue, and that she expects more such signposts as Georgia continues its Euro-Atlantic integration. On the 12th of August, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's spokesperson related that Ban Ki-moon is concerned by reports of continued borderization along the ABL. On the 13th of August, Russian border guards abducted a 36-year-old man from the village of Kirbali in Gori municipality and brought him to the detention center in Skhinvali. Following up on previous month's stories, on the 12th of August, the Ministry of Defense said that 4 employees at the Ministry of Defense and General Staff of the Armed Forces who were on trial in the cable case were reinstated to their jobs. As a reminder, in late October 2014, 1 former and 4 serving officials from the Ministry of Defense and General Staff were arrested and charged with misspending 4.1 million lari in the alleged sham tender in 2013 on laying of a fiber optic cable. They deny the charges because the charges are complete BS, as anyone who looked at them will tell you. All 5 men spent almost 8 months in pretrial detention and were released in June 2015 after the prosecution dropped its objection against their release. After the court ordered their pretrial detention, which was crazy, completely crazy that the court said that, and illustrates the court having great influence by the prosecutor's office at the very least, the 4 serving officials were suspended from office. 2 of them served in the Ministry of Defense's procurement unit, and the other 2 in the General Staff's Communications and IT Department. Defense Minister Tina Kohidasheli wrote on Facebook Now that after the court's decision to release the Ministry of Defense officials from pretrial detention, there was no legal grounds for keeping them suspended from office. They were all quite young and very, very junior, and there was absolutely no reason for them to be in pretrial detention. Georgia's 2 leading internet and IPTV service providers, SilkNet and Caucasus Online, are seeking to merge and are awaiting approval from the Georgia National Communications Commission. 2 companies submitted the request on the 11th of August. The Georgia National Communications Commission, or GNCC, will have 3 months to assess the impact of the proposed merger before making a final decision. The companies have declined a request for details and said that they would unveil details later. The 2 companies dominate Georgia's broadband internet service with a combined market share of just under 70% in June 2015, according to GNCC data. As a note, there are about 570,000 internet subscribers in the country, while Caucasus Online has more fiber optic internet subscribers than SilkNet. The latter leads in number of DSL subscribers. With their IPTV service, SilkNet and Caucasus Online hold about 33% of pay TV combined market share as of the end of 2015. SilkNet is part of the Silk Road Group, a conglomerate with business and transportation, telecommunications, banking, hotels, and property development, owned by well-known Zadala. Caucasus Online was formed in 2006 as a result of the merger of the 3 largest, and a coerced merger of the 3 largest ISPs in Georgia at the time. Caucasus Online shares are now registered on 3 offshore companies and also own the 1,200-kilometer-long fiber optic cable that runs under the Black Sea. This merger is a terrible idea and will lead to even worse and more expensive internet service if allowed to go through, because it would be a clear monopoly with 70% control of the internet in Georgia and in a sector that should be considered a public utility like water or electricity anyway. This is unconfirmed, but we have heard that the head of the Border Police, Major General Zura Gamezardashvili, was appointed Deputy Interior Minister. National Bank set a new exchange rate for the 13th of August. One U.S. dollar is 2.31 lari. The previous exchange rate was 2.30. Exchange booths are selling dollars at 2.33 or 2.34. And for the euro, the official exchange rate is 1 euro to 2.57 lari. The previous rate was 2.54. Member of Parliament from the National Movement, Georgi Karbidalashvili, said he was illegally detained by police near the village of Kvishcheti in Chitakartli on the night of the 10th of August. Karbidalashvili told Rustaviori that he was stopped in his car by police, taken to the police station in Osiauri, kidnapped for 6 hours, and has injuries on his body, and that it was a provocation. Gia Baramidze, another member of parliament from the UNM who previously served as interior minister, among many other things, came, and he was much longer time the minister of North Atlantic, Euro-Atlantic integration. He came to the police station saying that that what they were doing was illegal, calling them zagli, or dogs, which is a term used for police before the reform of the patrol police. When Karbidalashvili was being transferred to the Gori police station, he was shouting, quote, "I was having a feast with my co-fighters and they arrested me because I was fighting for freedom. I was with heroes and they arrested me," end quote. Meanwhile, Baramidze was trying to prevent police from putting Karbidalashvili in the car. The Interior Ministry denies that Karbidalashvili was illegally detained and later released a video clip explaining that the police stopped the car on the Borjomi-Tbilisi highway for traffic violations and that the driver, Karbidalashvili, was yelling and swearing when asked to show his documents and do an alcohol test. So they brought him and one other person in the car into the station, and there the test showed that he was under the influence of alcohol. They said an investigation is underway for resisting police with violence by a group of people. It was reported on the 10th of August that another Georgian volunteer fighter, 24-year-old Georgi Baratelli, was killed in southeastern Ukraine. The Georgian consulate in Ukraine confirmed that Baratelli died and offered the family assistance with transporting the body home. The circumstances and location of Baratelli's death are unclear, but Georgian media outlets said he died from a mine. Misha praised Baratelli on his Facebook page, saying that Baratelli was born in Sakhumi and he went to fight in Ukraine to make his father in Georgia proud, according to other volunteers he was fighting with. Ukrainian Air Force Commander Major General Serhiy Drozdov is paying a three-day visit to Tbilisi starting on the 13th of August. He met with the Chief of the General Staff of the Georgian Armed Forces, Major General Vakhtang Kapanadze. Major General Drozdov said that Georgia and Ukraine will elaborate a joint working plan on bilateral cooperation in the areas of air defense, training of Air Force personnel, and experience exchange. On the 8th of August, it was the 7th anniversary of the August 2008 war with Russia. President and Prime Minister visited, separately, the military cemetery at Mukhadverdi on the outskirts of Tbilisi. 166 Georgian Army servicemen, 14 police officers, and at least 220 civilians were killed in the war. Prime Minister Karbidalashvili said, quote, "The wounds of the August 2008 war remain unhealed, but that peace has no alternative if we want to reintegrate these territories and live together with our Abkhaz and Ossetian brothers in peace. There is only one way to achieve this, through peaceful negotiations and through confidence building." End quote. He continued that, "Of course we should continue our prudent policy with Russia, but of course we will be very firm and principled." Mark Balashvili traveled to the village of Nikozi in the immediate vicinity of South Ossetia, where he attended a church service in memory of those fallen in the war. He said there is an artificial occupation line that divides us from Skhinvali in South Ossetia, and the line will be crossed through reconciliation. The foreign ministry released a statement leading up to the war anniversary saying that despite Georgia's constructive measures, Russia continues the policy of creeping annexation, adding that Tbilisi will continue its policy of de-escalation. They finished that, quote, in the existing situation, the firm and consistent support of the international community is of utmost importance. On the 12th of August, the National Bank raised its key refinancing rate by 50 basis points to 6%, citing an increase in inflation expectations. Georgia's annual inflation rose to 4.9 in July from 4.5 a month earlier. The Central Bank's Monetary Policy Committee reiterated its earlier forecast that the refinancing rate is expected to be within 6.5 by the end of this year, if no additional shocks emerge. As a reminder, the central bank started tightening the monetary policy earlier this year, increasing it from 4 to 4.5% in February and further raising it to 5% in May and 5.5% in July. The central bank said that among the internal factors which negatively affected expectations are attempts to discredit the national bank's policy. The central bank's Monetary Policy Committee will hold its next meeting on the 23rd of September. President Margvelashvili spoke by phone to Turkish President Erdogan on the 11th of August and expressed support towards Turkey amid recent terrorist acts, as he said, in Istanbul and southeast provinces of the country. They also discussed issues of bilateral and regional cooperation. The Council of Europe's anti-corruption monitoring body, GRECO, released a report on Georgia's implementation of their recommendations on anti-corruption legislation and on transparency of party funding. Covering the period July 2013 to March 2015, they said that Georgia has only partially implemented the recommendations, especially when it comes to transparency of party funding. In Georgia, the state audit office is in charge of monitoring political finances. GRECO called for further strengthening of the agency's capacity for more proactive investigations into cases of violations of political funding rules, as well as more effective prevention of misuse of administrative resources during election campaigns. That'd be good. The UEFA Super Cup between Barcelona FC and Sevilla FC was held in Tbilisi at Dinamo Arena on the 11th of August. Barcelona won 5-4. It was their fifth Super Cup win. The city was pumped up leading to the game, with hundreds of people walking down Margvelashvili Street in Barcelona jerseys on the way to the stadium. The opening before the match, there was a Georgian folk dance performance. The theme of the match was Football United for Peace, and there was a human chain with 1,000 kids as a symbol of unity. Tickets were sold out the days leading to the game. Scalpers were selling tickets for between $150 and $300 US each. For people who couldn't be at the game, there was a live screening at Vake Park. Also at the match were the prime ministers of Estonia and Romania, as well as Prime Minister Khadabashvili, Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmani, and Parliamentary Speaker Dato Uzubashvili. Khadabashvili told journalists before the match that Georgia did everything to host the match and that 20 million lari was spent on renovations of Dinamo Arena. He also made hints that it was the Georgian dream government that convinced UEFA to hold the supermatch in Tbilisi, saying that the final decision was taken 2 years ago when BI was prime minister and met with UEFA President Michael Platini. But in fact, UEFA selected Tbilisi at a meeting of its executive committee in Kiev in June 2012, when Georgian Dream had not yet won the parliamentary elections. At the match, fans hung their flags over banisters, and there were Azerbaijani and Armenian flags displayed side by side. Everybody was happy. People were later sharing the photos on Facebook that football unites. There were over 51,000 people at Dinamo Arena, which was the highest for the UEFA sports club since 1998. Most of the stadium was Barcelona fans. Barcelona superstar Leo Messi was named MVP. He scored 2 goals. UEFA president Michel Platini handed the cup to Barcelona. Both teams were given medals, and the Georgian officials there personally congratulated the players. Khadabashvili posted a whole album of it on his official Facebook with a Lionel Messi tag, which is weird. At a press conference the day after the game, Messi thanked Georgia and the audience for making him feel at home and like it was a home game. His Facebook status was, feeling amazing in Tbilisi, Georgia. The day after the match on the 12th of August, the head of the Georgian Football Federation, Zviad Tsichinava, resigned. He said that as it is in big football, a person should leave at his peak. There was much criticism of Tsichinava recently about his mishandling of ticket sales for the UEFA Super Cup. Following up on Azerbaijan and human rights, on the 13th of August, a Baku court sentenced human rights activist Leyla Yunus to 8.5 years in jail and her husband Arif Yunus to 7 years. They were found guilty of economic crimes such as fraud and tax evasion, which are, of course, complete BS. They're both ill and need medical assistance. Azerbaijani reporter Rasim Aliyev died on the 9th of August after he was brutally beaten by fans at an Azerbaijani football fans of an Azerbaijani footballer he had criticized. Iran plans to save the rapidly dying Lake Urmia with water provided by Georgia and Armenia. According to Iranian media, it was confirmed by an Iranian member of parliament and an agreement has been reached with all involved parties. The water will come from the Tikvari River and Lake Sevan by means of three pumping stations located in Iran. Reportedly, between 60 and 80 cubic meters of water per second will be sent to Iran. In what pipe, I'm not sure. On the 10th of August, a policeman was shot on duty in the village of Zemo Alvani in Kakheti during a house call concerning domestic violence. When the police arrived at the house, the man opened fire, shot one of the policemen in the head and chest. The police officer is in a hospital in serious condition. The shooter was detained. On the 11th of August, two policemen were wounded during a special drug bust operation in the Tbilisi suburb of Ponichala. Minister of Internal Affairs reports that police stopped the car, which was then instead crashed into a police car. The driver opened fire on them. The driver escaped. The other person in the car was later detained for resisting the police. He is allegedly a member of an organized crime group and is also accused for the illegal purchase and possession of drugs. On the 12th of August, people were writing online about the confrontation with Russian soldiers at a monastery in the mountains somewhere near South Ossetia. The Georgian priest from the monastery then explained that there was no conflict, that the Russian soldiers often came there to pray. Rumors came back because of a video posted online that shows a soldier waving the butt of a rifle around a pack of dogs. The priest explained that the Russian soldiers were trying to calm down the dogs. Some of the dogs belonged to the soldiers and some to the monastery, but they weren't getting along. According to Russian media, Georgian legal thief or thief-in-law Kanonieri Kurdi of the Tariel Oniani group was detained in Moscow. New military training zone and obstacle course for tanks and other armored vehicles known as a tankodrome opened at the Vaziani military base. Defense Minister Timiko Khidasheli said that the tank part will be a part of the NATO-Georgia Joint Training and Evaluation Center, which will officially open at the end of the month. The training area was named after Corporal Roman Ugrechelidze, who was killed in the 2008 war. Following up on summer flights, Georgian Airways launched on the 8th of August a Tbilisi-Baghdad flight, finally, that will operate about once a week until the end of summer. Earlier in July, they launched a Tbilisi-Erbil-Batumi Erbil route. Following up on last week, flights between Tbilisi and Tehran did resume, and on the 7th of August, Iran's ATA Airlines did the Tbilisi-Tehran flight. It will operate twice a week until the end of summer. Georgia Airways has the right to operate flights to Tehran, but isn't running one. Additionally, the frequency of flights between Georgia and existing destinations has increased. Flights to Thessaloniki by Elenair increased to twice per week. Georgian Airways added four more flights to Yerevan, increasing the frequency of flights to eight per week. And, usefully, flights to Odessa increased to two per week. Messaging app Viber removed Abkhazia and South Ossetia from the list of countries where users can make calls. Georgia's foreign ministry had earlier contacted the Viber office in Cyprus with the request, and Viber complied. Georgia's three leading female ministers, the ministers of Defense, Justice, and Education, pledged to raise the popularity of the Georgian Armed Forces and boost youth morale by introducing a new school subject. They signed a document that envisages creating joint school competitions and informational, educational excursions. There'll be a new subject in all public schools, military history and national defense, and there will be a program, Letters to Soldiers, where kids will send letters to military servicemen taking part in international peacekeeping missions. 7th to 8th grade students will prepare video reports about the August 2008 war within a competition about modern-day heroes. I remember asking a famous politician in Poland a few years back what their biggest problem was. He said the biggest problem in Poland was that the way to become a hero in Poland was either to kill a neighbor or be killed by a neighbor. They needed to move past that narrative, according to the person that I talked to. The bodies of 12 Georgians found in a mass grave at Suchumi's Babushera Airport have been identified. They're among 31 bodies that were transferred from Abkhazia to Tbilisi and their families in May 2015. There was a funeral service at Holy Trinity Church for them, and they will soon be meeting Samepa, and they will soon be buried at the Tbilisi Brothers Military Cemetery. In 2010, under the aegis of the Red Cross, a collaborative team was set up to study missing persons cases dating back to 1992-93. The Ministry of Agriculture will give subsidies to grape growers for certain grapes. The government will pay 0.35 lari to a farmer per kilogram of Rkatsiteli and Kahuri Mswane, which are white grapes usually sold to wine factories, and 15 lari, but that's 0.015, so 15 tetri for Sapodavi grapes. They also said that they would purchase excess grapes not purchased by producers. Several Indian companies are planning to jointly enter the hotel business in Georgia, according to the Georgian Investment Agency. More information on location is expected later in the year. On the 12th of August, Georgia celebrated the annual festival of Didgoroba, the day of Didgori, which marks a historic battle fought in August of 1121, resulting in the formation of modern Tbilisi. According to legend, the Battle of Didgori was a David and Goliath battle between the armies of the Kingdom of Georgia and the declining Great Seljuk Empire. King David IV won and reconquered Muslim-held territories in Georgia. Evidently, Ghari Vashili said all kids in school should visit the battlefield, just in time for Tbilisi to be filled with Arab tourists and Turkish tourists. Great. Children from Georgia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, Moldova, Russia, and Ukraine participated in a Young Foresters Network one-week summer camp in Azerbaijan to discuss forest conservation and management. It's part of the EU-funded Forest Law Enforcement and Governance Forestry Program, FLEG-2. Georgian-born, Vienna-based abstract painter Tamuna Sirbiladze had a debut American solo show entitled Take It Easy at New York's Half Gallery. British newspaper The Observer highlighted Sirbiladze's exhibition and a list of things to do in New York in August. Parliament is on summer break. Parliamentary delegation led by Vice Speaker Gubaz Sanakidze visited Iran again this week. They met with their Iranian counterparts, as well as First Deputy Foreign Minister and head of Iran's Cultural Heritage and Tourism Organization. The Iranian Parliament Speaker Ali Larjani said that the Iran nuclear deal is opening a new chapter, which will also help to expand political and economic cooperation between Tehran and Tbilisi. Vice Parliamentary Speaker Sanakidze said that there is a huge desire and readiness from both sides to expand cooperation, adding that transiting Iran's energy resources via Georgia would be of strategic importance for Georgia. The visit of the Georgian delegation comes less than a week after six Iranian lawmakers visited Georgia. And as a reminder, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usubashvili visited Iran in January 2015. Economy Minister Kvitikashvili was there in May of this year. The meme this week is Leo Messi's Feeling Amazing in Tbilisi, Georgia tag, which has over 2 million likes and 67,000 shares in under 24 hours. And another photo that was going around Facebook the day before the Super Cup game, Messi with a plate of khingali. Stuff to read. Michael Birnbaum writes for the Washington Post on Misha's job in Odessa and says that if he fails, then Ukraine is basically doomed to remain corrupt and fall back into Russia's orbit. Natali Sabanadze has given an opinion for Politico's EU site that the West was more or less silent after the 2008 war, and this made it easy for Russia to make a war in Ukraine a few years later. The BBC, George Mchedlishvili of Chatham House, explores what's behind Russia's recent border actions in Georgia and argues that it's to disrupt Georgia's pro-Western course and is part of Russia's overall anti-Western policy and creating external enemies in order to keep the regime in power. Mm-hmm. RT, with its Kremlin-approved news, has an interview on the August 2008 war saying that Misha is proof that color revolutions can be reversed. It's really weird, and you should check out the article. It's kind of a Twilight universe, but it's interesting to have RT talking about Georgia and about something that we know about. Very much worth looking at. Wall Street Journal travels with Misha on a Ukrainian marshutka through Odessa province, where Misha is meeting the people and showing that he means transparency. CNN has a list of reasons to visit Georgia. Agenda.ge writes on the efforts of Tbilisi State Academy of Arts to restore the production of traditional blue cloths. They're the traditional tablecloths. They're incredibly beautiful, and everybody ought to buy a bunch of them. All that stuff is posted on the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is $70 million. This is the new projected investment amount in dollars for the Mirza Shafi construction project in Old Tbilisi, down from the original $100 million. The project is being implemented by the company Capital Partners of Georgia. Tbilisi residents generally are unhappy with it and say it will destroy historical parts of the city. For those in London and also elsewhere in the UK, Mohsen Mahalbaf's film, The President, which is filmed in Georgia and is about a deposed dictator in hiding, will be released in cinemas on the 21st of August. It's all over the UK, and I think a lot of other places too as well, but especially in Europe. There'll be special preview screenings of the film, followed by a Q&A with the director. It'll be at Curzon Bloomsbury on the 15th of August and Picture House Central on the 16th. Look it up in cinema pages for tickets or time out or wherever you want. And after that, it will play in cinemas at those mentioned above, as well as JW3 and Tricycle Theater. Pause. On the 6th of October at 6 p.m. at Regent Street Cinema, there will be a special masterclass with the director and film critic and historian Derek Malcolm as part of the 4th London Georgian Film Festival. You can ask the British Georgian Society for more information when and where the films will be screening elsewhere in the UK. But if you Google London Georgian Film Festival, you can find it. And there's a lot of really great movies, new and old, and you should check it out. In Tbilisi, the Georgian National Museum is holding an exhibition by a group of Russian artists called Kaliningrad until the 15th of August. The Made in Kaliningrad exhibition is supposed to spark debate about Russia through photos, sculptures, videos, and installations. Also, as a reminder, the National Museum is holding an exhibition until the 16th of August of the Caucasus front in the First World War. The photos are from Nino Georgiadze, who is a volunteer for the Red Cross, as a doctor's assistant at the front, and is Georgia's first female photographer, at least as billed. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is spielpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.spielpod.com. And we will finish with, of course, Big Mama Thornton and the original Hound Dog from 1953. Yeah. Yeah!